From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. In Juneau, there were more new cases of COVID-19 identified in the 2 weeks that ended on Sunday than any other 2 weeks since testing and tracking began. That's according to Deputy City Manager Mila Cosgrove's latest weekly report on COVID-19 in the capital city. People who were fully vaccinated accounted for 30% of those cases. The rest were among the unvaccinated who reported worse symptoms. Two people are in the hospital with active cases. Cosgrove's report says the State Division of Public Health is beginning to have difficulty with timely contact tracing. It's a key public health tool for containing the spread. The Juneau Assembly will consider reenacting its emergency measures to combat COVID-19 at a special meeting this evening. The emergency measures in effect now in Juneau are set to expire on Saturday. These are the rules that ratchet up and down with the community's COVID risk level about masking, how many people can get together, and how businesses operate. Just Friday, emergency officials raised the risk level from minimal to moderate, which cuts indoor capacity at restaurants, bars, gyms, and personal service businesses down to half. Masks continue to be mandatory indoors and in crowds for the unvaccinated. The emergency measures the assembly will consider tonight include a few changes from the ones that are expiring. Under the moderate risk level, people who are fully vaccinated would be strongly encouraged to mask up indoors. That fits with new masking guidance the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced Tuesday for people who are fully vaccinated. The CDC says it reflects what they've learned about the more contagious Delta variant of the disease. The CDC's new guidance also led the Executive Council of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska to go virtual with its annual tribal assembly. The 86th annual tribal assembly convenes online on September 30th. Size limits for group activities where everyone is fully vaccinated would be relaxed under the new rules. There would also be a new tier to the color-coded risk levels. Green, fully open. Going green hinges on one condition, when at least 97% of Juneau's entire population can be vaccinated, not actually vaccinated. Since the end of April, the goal had been to hit a community-wide vaccination level of 70%. Vaccination rates plateaued this summer a few percentage points short of that goal. As proposed, the new emergency measures would expire October 31st. Adopting emergency legislation like this requires at least 6 of the 9 assembly members to vote yes. In other news, Juneau coach and teacher Kevin Hamrick recently retired from the Juneau School District after putting in almost 30 years as an educator. As he finished up his final days teaching summer school classes, he found himself in a bureaucratic beef with the district over $750. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports on Hamrick's grievance.
Kevin Hamrick first started working for the Juneau School District in 1992. His last day of work was during summer school on June 28th. He had 5 days of personal leave left over and thought he could cash it out under a policy in the teacher's labor contract with the district.
After you serve the district for so long and you ask for your cash out of your leave, that's $750, and they deny it. It's just like, okay, yeah, thank you. Have a nice retirement.
The cash option gives teachers a reason not to use up all of their leave just for the sake of using it up, which generally means instructional benefits for the students. It also helps the district save money by not needing to hire substitute teachers as often, and the payout rate is much lower than a teacher's salary for a day.
It was designed to be an incentive not to take it, and they're turning into a punishment for not taking it. So that was my main grievance, that, you know, I did what was best for the kids because they missed enough school last year, in-person teaching, and I wasn't going to, you know, use up my last 5 days.
But district officials all said no, he couldn't cash out those 5 days of unused leave.
Mr. Hamrick referred to the intent. Intent is not how you manage a contract.
That's Superintendent Bridget Weiss during a hearing on Hamrick's case with a panel of Juneau school board members.
Intent is how you write language, for sure.
Language that the teachers union and district both agreed to in their labor contract. The cash-out policy in it sounds straightforward. Quote, teachers can cash out unused leave at any time during the school year at a rate of $150 per day, prorated, end quote. Basically, Weiss says he missed the during-the-school-year deadline.
what's important is that we honor that language and the role of a contract versus what feels fair, perhaps, or those kinds of things. This is really about contract language and adhering to that contract language.
One school board member asked Weiss how often personal leave is forfeited. She said she could only recall one other similar situation. The school board said intent does matter to them and recommended the administration take a deeper look into if the policy is supposed to let teachers forfeit their leftover leave time when they stop working for the district. Longtime school board member Brian Holst chaired the grievance hearing panel.
I've negotiated, been a part of these negotiations for years. I don't recall the context being that we also wanted to stop somebody from cashing out at the end of their service.
The full Juneau School Board met Tuesday to consider the panel's recommendations. It didn't make a final decision. Hamrick made procedural errors in the grievance process, so the board referred Hamrick back to an earlier step with the administration. Hamrick says he was surprised but happy with the board's call. He intends to continue through the grievance process. Hamrick says he's heard from union members who say they'll fix the policy in the next contract.
Hopefully, since I made a big enough noise about it, at least now it'll benefit somebody in the future.
The labor contract between the school district and the teachers union is up for renegotiation in December. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
In other news, the Alaska Supreme Court has upheld the conviction of a Metlakatla fisherman who was fined for fishing without proper permits. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, the case is part of a long-running dispute over tribal sovereignty.
In 2014, U.S. Coast Guard officers reported a Metlakatla tribal member fishing in a closed area without a state commercial fishing permit. When they boarded the boat, they found a few dozen coho salmon, which the skipper reportedly said he intended to sell. Metlakatla resident John Scudero was cited for 3 commercial fishing violations and fined $20,000 after a one-day trial the following year. He appealed the case. Metlakatla's elected tribal government has long objected to state fishing regulations, arguing that its status as the state's only Indian reservation gives it unique federally guaranteed rights. The tribe filed a brief in support, arguing enrolled tribal citizens fishing outside the reservation's boundaries were not under the state's jurisdiction. The argument goes like this. Attorneys argue the 1891 law creating the reserve intended to create a self-sustaining community, and an essential part of the community's ability to sustain itself is through fishing, both within a 3,000-foot exclusive zone around the reserve and outside that boundary. And since federal law trumps state law, Scudero's attorneys argued that Alaska's fishing regulations infringed upon the tribe's sovereign rights set out by Congress. But the Alaska Supreme Court disagreed. Writing for the court, Justice Peter Mawson declined to rule on whether Metlakatla tribal members held a federally guaranteed right to fish outside the 3,000-foot boundary. But Mawson cited a raft of U.S. Supreme Court cases that held tribes' off-reservation hunting and fishing rights were subject to state regulations aimed at conserving fish and wildlife populations. 3 other Supreme Court justices joined Mawson's opinion. The remaining justice, Dario Borgeson, did not participate in the case. It's not the first time Metlakatla Indian community has asked a judge to rule on the question of off-reservation fishing rights. The tribe sued Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration in federal court last year on similar grounds. A federal district judge dismissed the case. It's now pending in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
A state lawyer outed as having posted racist and anti-Semitic comments on Twitter no longer works for the Alaska Department of Law. That's according to a written statement from Attorney General Treg Taylor, which does not say whether former Assistant Attorney General Matthias Seacott resigned or was fired. He had worked for the state since 2012. A week ago, the Guardian newspaper reported that anti-fascist researchers had identified Seacott as the author of a series of Twitter posts written under a pseudonym that contained extreme views on race, religion, and criminal justice. The Guardian also reported Seacott was a supporter of a Mormon-derived extremist group. Attorney General Taylor, who leads the Department of Law, said in a statement about Seacott, quote, "We respect and value different points of views, backgrounds, cultures, and opinions, and our employees strive to do so in the same strive to do the same in the workplace," end quote. Citing confidentiality rules around personnel matters, a spokeswoman for the law department declined to comment further on an internal investigation into the allegations against Seacott. And an Olympic buzz permeates the Alaska coastal community of Seward nearly a full day after Lydia Jacoby scored a major upset to bring home gold in the women's 100-meter breaststroke at the Tokyo Games. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.